You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today is Dr. Karen Herman. And it's no secret that El Paso is known as the Sun City, and sometimes we can get a little bit too much sun. There are some dangers out there, and we're going to talk a little bit about summer safety, different treatments that are out there, different medications, and but most of all, we're going to get some insight from Dr. Karen Herman. Dr. Herman has worked in the El Paso area since 1999. She is board certified in family practice. She has also been practicing dermatology, and currently she is also Dr. Karen Herman of Rejuvenate. Tell us about that, Karen, because sometimes, well, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Louis. Thank you for inviting me.
And tell us a little bit about this title that I just mentioned. What does that mean?
The name of our practice is Dermatology and Aesthetic Center of El Paso, and I'm together with Dr. Peter Herman, who happens to be my father and a wonderful mentor. But Rejuvenate AMD is kind of my little subset from the practice, where on special days, it doesn't have the rigmarole of all the medical clinical patients, and I'm just seeing aesthetic patients on that day. So it's a little bit more calm. We have focused attention. We can discuss things in great detail about what would help you with rejuvenating yourself to feel and look as you used to. If there's days that you look in the mirror and you say, gosh, I feel young, but it just doesn't show that anymore. So I do my Botox, my fillers for the patients. I give them the assessment on those days, and we can do the treatment. Lasers are available. We do treatments that are called PRP or platelet-rich plasma treatments, which are either microneedling and injections. And more recently, I've added a new type of treatment for women, for a woman's intimate wellness, that deals with vaginal treatment using a laser to help with symptoms of urinary incontinence, with tightening to relieve dryness, and actually have better gratification with intercourse. So it's actually a new treatment that is available for women that is not requiring medications and not requiring surgery. And I'm so pleased to be able to extend that part of my practice to the women that come to see me.
Is this something that, because, you know, a lot of times, and it hasn't been brought to the limelight until recently, you know, people are talking more about low T in men, estrogen in women. And what you just mentioned, as far as, is this something that for women who are experiencing, you know, menopause or postmenopause?
Great question. It is. It's wonderful for those patients. It's also even for the women who have just had babies, you know, postpartum, post-childbirth, things change. Our bodies certainly don't stay the way that they used to. And part of that is stretching. And the natural mechanism of giving birth can alter how women can feel and how things look. So this is both a functional treatment where it's actually helping with some of the symptoms that patients have, but it's also kind of an aesthetic treatment for a different area of our body and helping people if they don't like the way things are changing, and if there's pigmentation changes or if there's laxity or looseness, I should say. Then it helps those ladies also. And so with that, it's kind of something that's helping the women at home and their partners as well. So it's a great, easy treatment, non-surgical, like I mentioned. It's in the office. About 10, 15 minutes is all it takes. No discomfort, no anesthetic required. Pretty much you can go back to regular activity afterwards. And we can discuss that more in the future. But I'm so excited to be able to give it to my patients.
Now, as you were discussing earlier, you said pigmentation, and you know, one of the things that we associate sometimes with living in a place like El Paso, the sun, the desert, and you know, sometimes people say, I can't understand, you know, people have lived here for hundreds of years, and they always wore hats, and you see people out there without a hat, without any much protection. As a dermatologist, you've seen some patients who come in because they may have skin tags, they may have skin cancer. You know, the fact that sometimes you, when you're young, you think, well, I can go spend all day out in the sun and tan and look great, and then I realize what may happen.
And I shudder
later
when I hear that. Yes, so we're so lucky. We live in the Sun City. We all love the glow of the sun and feeling the warmth. But we definitely have some things to be careful with. Since El Paso is almost 365 days out of the year with sun, we have to think about that. But even when it's cloudy days or rainy, dusty days here in El Paso, we are still getting UV radiation that touches us and hits us and is causing some damage to our DNA and to our skin. So not only that, the elevation of El Paso increases the intensity of the UV light. So we think that every 1,000 feet above sea level, the intensity of that UV is about 8 to 10% greater. So we always have to keep that into consideration as well. People are kind of flocking to these wonderful Southwest areas or where mountains are, and we can do all our beautiful outdoor living and sports, but we have to wear protection. And the thing is, people don't always do that. And the one thing that I want every single patient who sees me or hears me come out from is wear sunscreen every single day. It doesn't matter if it is one of those winter days. If there's exposure to a window and you're running errands, then you have to remember to have that sunscreen on.
And when you're talking about sunscreen, as we know, there are different levels out there, and sometimes people will see a commercial on television, see something in an ad, or go to the store and they're overwhelmed because,
there's so many.
What kind do I get?
Yes. Okay, well, first of all, let me just kind of explain about UV radiation. The main ones that are causing the damage are UVA and UVB rays, okay? Think of UVB as B for burning and UVA, A for aging. The UVB rays are the ones that kind of hit the surface of our skin, and the UVA to penetrate deeper. But both of them are the culprits for the majority of skin cancers or precancers, okay? When you look at the sunscreens, you need to find something that says UVA and UVB protection, or it should say broad spectrum, which basically means that it's covering both of those ranges. UVB is what is, when you look at the SPF factor on the bottles, it ranges usually from 15 upwards. And that just means how much longer you have before you develop that burn. So it's almost like a sunburn protection factor, SPF. It's really sun protection factor, but like think of that as how much longer before you would get that burn. An SPF of 15 gives you about 93% blockage of the UVB rays. An SPF factor of about 50 will give you about 97%. But the FDA has recently said don't even worry if it's an SPF higher. They kind of want to put SPF 50 and greater on the bottles, kind of changing how they're titling it for manufacturing. Because really the percentage of increase is very minimal if you get higher than 30%. And really the most important thing is that you are not protected all day. You have to put your sunscreen on every 2 hours if you have any exposure to the outdoors or to windows, because it does penetrate through those.
You're going to hear, and probably from sometimes men or people like me who just want everything done real quick, certain things. And I'll say, oh, man, this, you know, this is too much of a hassle. I have to put it on every 2 hours, or I have to put it in my briefcase, or it's oily, it's too greasy. You've heard them all.
Yes, I know. And it is definitely harder to get the men to schmear. but if I can just, there are so many different kinds of sunscreens out there. The other thing to look out for is if it's a chemical sunscreen versus a physical sunscreen. The oilier ones tend to be the kinds that are the chemical sunscreens. They have the avobenzone, the oxybenzone, octinoctate. And when patients put them on, the other complaint I often hear is, it gets into my eyes and it stings. Agree, it does. Now, those kinds, what they're doing is they're absorbing the heat, the light, and avoiding it from penetrating into the skin. What a physical sunscreen is only minerals. So it only has zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. And what that does is it reflects off the UV beams, so kind of deflecting off the surface of the skin. Those used to be the kinds, if you used to see those pictures with the white, thick paste over at the beach, they have made them so they're not as non-cosmetic, I should say. They're lighter, but they still work. They have to go through many, many testing in order to be able to be sold. And physical sunscreens are maybe what a man would like better, or a person who has more sensitive skin, people who have rosacea, who have a lot of vascular redness, inflammation, or acne, they may want to use a physical sunscreen. Also for babies, you don't really want to put the chemicals on a young child. So once they're 6 months and older, you may want to reach more for a physical sunscreen. They're a little bit more difficult to find, but they are out there.
And what about when you're talking about suntan, sunburn? You know, sunburn, of course, is very bad.
Yeah.
But suntan, you know, sometimes it could be a little bit, I guess, could be dangerous as well. And
I'm
wondering, do people still buy suntan lotion and go out in the sun? Or what about tanning salons? And I guess your take on both.
Unfortunately, people are not always heeding the word on that protection. I think we have gotten a little bit better educated about the risks of the sun, but actual incidence of melanoma has increased over the last 3 decades. And actually, 1 in 5 of us will actually end up with a skin cancer. They say about 87,000 new cases of melanoma will be diagnosed this year. And about 10,000 of those people, unfortunately, are going to die. It's very sad. Now, there's a heck of a lot more of the other kinds of skin cancers that are less aggressive, like the basal cell carcinoma or squamous cell carcinoma. We see those much, much more common. But they, like I said, the thing that we have to really watch out for is UV that is not just coming from outdoors. It's coming. We also have environmental stresses, and then the UV lights from the tanning booths. They're awful. They are not protective. If people are thinking they look better with a tan, they're actually just damaging their skin. That light, the darker pigment that's coming to the skin, is actually trying to protect it. It's like a protection mechanism of our wonderful bodies. But really, it's not. Like some people say, oh, I'm going to go to the tanning booth before I go on my vacation. Well, you're getting UVA, and then you're getting more UVA and UVB when you're going on the vacation. So you're it's so dangerous. And a lot of states have started to monitor minors from going into tanning booths, either having to require parents to sign off if they're younger than 14 or 18 years old. But still not every state requires that.
And one of the things that we addressed earlier a little bit about hats, but people don't always wear sunglasses either.
Right.
And as we've seen, I don't know if it's because it's a fashion, but some of the young kids, you know, will wear the caps backwards and the sunglasses on top of the cap instead
right.
of wearing them.
Well, you're bringing up some really good points. So protective wear is the other thing to take care of. Other than there's many ways that you can actually protect your skin, and then the things that you're wearing on your body or the sunglasses that you put on your eyes are extra methods to try and prevent. What the main thing is prevention, and then if there's any changes, early detection. But yes, there are certain kind of clothing that has a UPF symbol on them, which is UV protection factor. So similar to how a sunscreen has SPF, then certain clothings have UPF on that. And so they are made usually with a thicker fiber so that this light will not penetrate through. Wearing a wide-brimmed hat is better than a baseball cap, but at least you have some shade if you just have the cap over your forehead. But men, frequently we see precancers and cancers on people, men and women who have short hair because they haven't protected the rims of their ears. And then the other thing is whenever I do a full body screen, I always ask, when was the last time you have seen your ophthalmologist? Because I can't see the back of the eye. I can't see where the retina is. And there can be ocular damage from UV.
And when you buy a pair of sunglasses, I would imagine that's very important also to check what level of the lens.
Absolutely.
Sun protection you're getting.
Absolutely.
What do you recommend?
You know, most sunglasses have a little symbol on it, and they usually say 100%. That's kind of what you're looking for.
And, of course, not just wear them when it's sunny, right? Because if it's a cloudy day.
Right. And also the reflection from our surfaces, you know, walking on the cement or the road or especially people who are skiing, it reflects off of the snow. The wind factor, even when you're skiing, actually increases the intensity of the UV as well, and you're at a little bit higher risk. Also, if you're in the water, in the pool, and the you know, at the ocean, the reflection from the water into your eyes and on your skin is something to take care of. So, which brings up our sunscreens again. There are no waterproof sunscreens. Now they have to say that they are water-resistant. Okay, and that means that they are giving some protection for 40 max, if they're very water resistant, 80 minutes. But then you are really supposed to reapply that sunscreen, especially because the sunscreen gets washed off or clumps up and it just is not effective anymore. So by that time, you're supposed to be putting sunscreen on again. But for anyone who's into these sports or just playtime, again, the two-hour limit is something that you have to keep in mind, and also how much you put on. Don't feel generous with your sunscreen. Pretty much a shot glass is about the size for an entire body. For your face, think of like a quarter to put in your hand and then being able to smear all that on your face.
Now, what about as far as, you know, treatment year-round, not just the summer, and taking care of yourself? And a lot of times we see something and we think, oh, well, it's okay. It's just a little dot or something. And we ignore it. Sometimes it gets too big. And then all of a sudden we get scared. We don't want to go to the doctor. So I think one of the things that you talked about earlier about melanomas and carcinomas and everything that happens, a lot of those can be avoided or prevented from getting worse if they see someone like you.
Absolutely. Well, so prevention is the key, taking care of yourself every single day. Also monitoring. And we would love for a person to be vigilant about checking out their entire body once a month. That means after the shower in a good lit area, being in front of a full length mirror and taking a look from head to toe, from scalp to toes, at if there's any new changes on your body. Sometimes it's difficult to see certain areas, and you can have a buddy system that you take care and watch that area and they will watch yours. Or taking photos at home. We often recommend, especially if people have many moles, take your own photos, know how far away from the place that you're taking the pictures to the body that you are, so that you can kind of keep it the same each time that you are doing the check. If there are any things that are new, the best thing is for us to find it. A lot of times skin cancers are found by the patient at home, but we in the field of dermatology can actually find them at an earlier stage if they come to see us. So we have the eyes and the clinical knowledge to identify something that you may not see as something potentially harmful.
And as far as you know, mold or skin tags, sometimes people will try, I guess, you know, home remedies or different things to remove them. And I guess my question would be, is it pretty much okay to have skin tags and moles? Or if, you know, your aunt had a mole and your grandma had a mole and you have one, you're going, oh my gosh, and all of them died. Well, they died of 99 years old or something like that, but not the mole.
So we all have moles. That makes the character who we are. We all have changes and make us unique individuals, right? So you have to love your moles. But if things are changing on them, that's a key factor. If you develop a new one, most people don't develop new moles after the age of 25 or 30. So if you start to see something that was not evident before, then it's a good idea to get something checked out. Also, if you start to have an area that has been itching you repetitively, or it burns or it stings, those are kind of tactile signals that say, body, what's going on here? I don't like it. It may need to be checked out. We have an acronym in dermatology called the ABCDEs. And something to remember is A stands for asymmetry. So if something is not nice and round or oval, then those are a red flag. B is if the border is irregular. C, color variation. So some things may not just be a light brown. They may actually have multiple colors of pigment in it, including red or including even a lighter color within a mole. So that's the variation that we look for. D is diameter. If something is bigger than 0.6 centimeters, or like the size of an eraser head from a pencil, then it may need to be checked out, especially if it's growing. And E, this is the most important with an exclamation mark, evolvement, if a mole is changing. The other thing I like to say, you know, if you don't remember the ABCDEs, the ugly duckling. You may have a lot of different marks on your body, but if one stands out, or I call it the black sheep, if one looks totally different from the rest, that could be a red flag also.
And sometimes are some of these painless. That's why
a lot of times they are.
Yes,
a lot of people, they come in usually for me to take a look at one area, and then I scan the rest of their body and I say, but this really bothers me more, this I'm not so sure about, and I can give them reassurance on the one that they came in with, and then they say, but that doesn't bother me, or it's been there for a while. But there are certain qualities that look irregular in our eyes, and when we can view it under magnification, which we do most of the time in the office. So we need to have the right light. We have to have the right magnification to really take a look at these moles. But they're different. Like a basal cell cancer can look like a little red patch, or it can look like a little pearly translucent type of lesion. Sometimes the borders start to roll. And they may think, oh, it's just a rash, and I've been scratching at that. But it may be something different. That's the most common, the basal cell skin cancer. The squamous cells are usually a bit scaly, and they grow a little bit faster. Sometimes they even develop a horn, and it's amazing. But they develop very, very quickly. They can grow very quickly. And those can spread to lymph nodes. Usually both the basal cells and the squamous cells, if we locally take them off, then for the most part, the patient is safe, and then we just continue surveillance. The ones that are the more aggressive ones are the melanomas that come from the pigment cells that make the color of our skin and hair.
And when someone comes in to get their, you know, as you mentioned, scanned, What is it that you recommend for a person? Because a lot of times they'll go see a dermatologist because they're concerned. I'm not sure if teens are still concerned with pimples or like that. But a lot of times they won't go into, because they're afraid, I guess, to ask that question. And I guess the reason I'm asking that is because, coming back to what you talked earlier about the treatment for the ladies, some of them may have some of those symptoms that you perhaps mentioned, you know, whether they're depressed or, you know, no intimacy, but yet they're afraid to come forward or to ask somebody.
Well, true. And sometimes we wonder, why did it take you so long for us to take a look at this? What I recommend is, especially if there is a family history or personal history of ever having skin cancer, make sure at least once a year that we have a full body screen. And Actually, it's not even covered by many insurances. The United States Protective Task Force doesn't even say that that is a must, but it is something that we recommend. Because your chances of having a second cancer, or if your family had a skin cancer, your risk is much higher as well. We say, you know, everybody likes to come in, be dolled up when they come to a doctor, but it's best to come to a dermatologist without any lotions or makeup on. We want to see the skin bare. Also, remove your nail polish before you come and see us for the full body screen, because we want to take a look at the nails. We want to take a look between the toes. And so we want no area left unlooked at. And part of a full body screen is even looking at the genitalia.
And on that point there, and the program that you said you have a special treatment for women only that you're going to be doing, what about if someone is having a issue or something like that with intimacy, mm-hmm. With their genitalia, and the fact that they don't know, you know, who to turn to or what to ask? And as you mentioned, it could be, you know, something that's just taken care of with this treatment, and the fact that they need to get a better frame of mind, rejuvenate, just, you know, become a person that they used to be before, even though, you know, they may be 50 or 60, mm-hmm. and yet they said, oh, I'm 50 or 60. It's
no.
Too bad.
Well, we try and make it comfortable in the office. All of us are very knowledgeable about how to deal with the patients and make them feel comfortable. But you have to, I mean, the patient themselves has to have a bond with a doctor. A lot of times we can find out different things by just opening that door, simply by just saying, so how are things going at home? How is your family? How is your husband? You know, what's happening? But we also like to find out, when was the last time you had your women's exam, your mammogram? And that's something I ask during the full body screen. I want to make sure that everything is up to date, their vaccines and their mammogram, and, you know, if they're at an age where they've needed a colonoscopy. That is part of something that I comprehensively look at. And being a female, it's easier to speak to sometimes females about it. But really, anyone who is well-trained and they feel close to their patients, they can open up a lot of doors for them.
We talked again earlier about a lot of different things about taking care of yourself, protecting yourself from the sun. But then you also talked a little bit about the Dermatology and Aesthetic Center and of El Paso and some of the different treatments that you have available specifically for women. If there was something that perhaps we didn't catch or they didn't catch and they want to hear it again, Karen, what is a website perhaps that people should go to?
Sure, thank you. It's www.dermatologyelpaso.com, or you can write www.rejuvenemd.com. And we have everything on there. We also have a Facebook and Instagram site that I write different blogs on skin health, on many different issues. So it's all on there as well.
Well, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTUP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sainz.